We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Bucks won a f***ing NBA championship.
Yeah!
What? What?
He tries to take a pulse, babe.
Watching that basketball game, like, caused health problems for me.
Boogie hates racism and Chris Paul. And who cannot get on board with that platform?
If I've learned a lot, I'm not going to say it. That sounds too
bad.
If
the Bucks do win it all, Pat Connaughton's numbers should be in the rafters.
Hey there, folks. Ty Windisch of the Eurostep podcast, presented by Prize Picks here, to quickly introduce a pair of interviews I conducted at Friday night's Wisconsin Herd game with former Milwaukee Buck and current Maine Celtic Tony Snell and Bucks rookie forward Chris Livingston. Tony Snell generously discussed and spoke with me at length about his fond memories of playing in Milwaukee, the love he still gets from Bucks fans, his early impressions of Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton, and his confidence both players would reach the heights they since have, and his experience sharing his and his son's autism diagnosis with the world and the support he's received since doing so. Chris Livingston, he shared his thoughts with me on a loss for the Herd to Tony Snell's Maine Celtics that got chippy, his mentality for going for poster dunks to establish intensity on the court, why he got teed up after completing a vicious poster late in the game on Friday night, learning from veterans on the Bucks roster, including new Buck Patrick Beverley and Jay Crowder, what he's learned generally this NBA season, his first, Chris Livingston's thoughts on the G League, and more. Without further ado, here they are. I really hope you all enjoy both interviews. Tony, thank you very much for the time. It was a nice win for your Celtics tonight. You know, what do you think made the difference against the Herd in this game?
We're just trying to get some defensive stops, trying to stay poised down the stretch. You know, they got a little run. Just try to stay poised and just finish strong.
You know, you've spent a couple of seasons now with the Maine Celtics. What's been your experience like with the club, and you know, what made you want to come back and continue playing with them this season?
Well, I want to grow on and off the court, using my voice, using my knowledge to help the young guys, helping them better their game, while at the same time, you know, better in my game. So just trying to do both.
I wanted to ask you about kind of that mentor responsibility. You know, the Herd have some guys as well, Glenn Robinson III and some others who have been around, and they've talked a lot, and their younger teammates have talked a lot about how important that is. Yeah. How seriously do you take that role of using what you know, what you learned from the NBA, and kind of helping these young guys in that sense?
Well, like, mentally for me, I feel like I've grown as just talking more, whereas in the past, I stayed to myself. So it's kind of like selfish if I just held in all my knowledge and not trying to, because they're the next people up. So I want to help them as much as I can and just try to show by example.
Absolutely. I'd love to take it back a little bit here, you know, to the Bucks perspective. When you signed with the Bucks, I believe it was 2017. You know, what went into that decision? Why Milwaukee? And what were the early days there like when you arrived in Milwaukee to play with the Bucks?
I felt like home. You know, I always want to play for a team that feels like home. The environment is amazing. I feel like I was in heaven every day, so I enjoyed those moments and did the best I can down there.
You know, I think that was Giannis's first MVP season when you were first there. You know, what was your impression of him, you know, in the early days when you first started playing with him? Obviously, you knew him from being in the league, being in the division too. But, you know, obviously you knew he was going to be a great player that season. He made All-Star.
But did you expect back then to see, you know, MVP, finals MVP, all these things from Giannis?
Well, from the outside, when I was with the Bulls, we played him in the playoffs and they put him at point guard. That was like the start of what they're going to do next year. And I think the year after that, I went there. Just seeing his hard work and how dedicated he was in the gym and perfecting his craft, I knew he was going to be a special player.
Absolutely. And then Chris Middleton, the other longtime Buck, who, of course, you matched up with in the playoffs. And I think he became an all-star by the end of your tenure in Milwaukee, that third year there. Same question with him. You know, did you expect, you know, he would end up becoming an all-star and a player who is, you know, there in the finals with 40-point games and all these things?
Yeah, of course. When I first got there, he was hurt. And I think I played throughout that season. Yeah. And then the next year, just seeing him rehabbing and just seeing him getting his groove back, you know, I knew he was going to be an all-star. But those two players were amazing.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think the Bucks are now kind of known for like a family-like atmosphere in that locker room. You know, those guys were certainly a lot younger then, but it sounds like, you know, it was a joy to play with them even back then, even, you know, before they were guaranteed to be, you know, a top of the conference team. Just what was that atmosphere like in the early days? What was it like kind of as, you know, Giannis and Chris and these guys kind of found their footing in the league?
I just feel like, you know, if you're having fun with the game, you're not treated. I mean, of course it's our job, but if you're not having fun with your job, it's not worth it. I feel like that environment, that family kind of environment, it was just fun to play with. Just looking forward to playing with those guys, going to war with those guys, and happy for their success.
Absolutely. And I wanted to ask about Bucks fans. It feels like you're a player who a lot of fans, myself included, just remember very fondly. Really liked your time with the team. Do you feel that love when you're back here in Wisconsin? You know, is that something that stands out to you, or is it, you know, just kind of how all fans are?
Yeah, I feel like I get a lot of love, and I appreciate the time I spent there, and I appreciate the fans still supporting me after those 3 years I was with them. Just a good feeling.
I wanted to ask about, you know, coaching change mid-season with Joe Prunty taking over. Those things all happened this year. Those things all happened to you. First, was it weird to see the same kind of guy step in the same mid-season transition? And what was it like as a player kind of dealing with that and, you know, having to change how things go mid-season? But also, it's such a busy schedule. The games don't stop. What is that like as a player?
Well, as you come into this business, people come in and out, and you've got to just step in and do the best you can. That's all you can ask for.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask, you know, off court, you know, your story has really resonated with a lot of people this year. You know, you sharing the autism diagnosis of you and your sons. How difficult was it to share that with the world? And what has the response meant? I know you're still on this journey of trying to get back in the league and make sure that that healthcare plan comes. But, you know, from Charles Barkley on TNT and so many people trying to support, just what's this whole experience been like for you?
It's been amazing. Like, I'm not gonna lie, it's been a really good feeling. I still got support. You know, it was hard for me to open up, but my wife said it's bigger than basketball, and she was right. It's bigger than basketball, and you know, I want to help, try to guide a lot of people who's in the spectrum and people that's not on the spectrum. I just want to motivate and show the sky's the limit and just go 100% whatever you do, and great things always happen.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Tony. Myself and Bucks fans everywhere are pulling for you.
Appreciate that.
Obviously not the result you wanted tonight, Chris, although you guys did make it real close late in the game. You know, what do you think was going against you tonight against the Celtics?
I think it was just the energy thing. I feel like, you know, down the stretch at the end of the game, we like show the other team and ourselves, you know, like we're playing as hard as we can. Like we can make the game tight and competitive again, you know, compete. When we came out lackadaisical, you know, we just rolled the ball out and really didn't play as hard in the first half. I think that's what really got us.
Got to ask about, you know, the poster late and the technical after, you know, was that something, first the dunk itself before we get to the other stuff, an incredible play. You went for another pretty thunderous one. I was going to ask you if that would have been your best ever poster. Then you had one that you pulled off, you know, is that in that situation, like you talked about the energy, do you feel like it's important to try and get these highlight plays to get everyone moving that extra, you know, mile per hour?
In my head, I just think it's like a mentality thing. Like, you know, like, yeah, it's a highlight, but I feel like it's just like finishing strong at the rim is just a mentality. And it's a certain energy that you play with. You know, I was missing a lot of layups throughout the game. So, you know, later on, I wasn't really getting the calls that I would like. So that's why I was just thinking, like, just go attack the rim, you know, go hard and just have that mentality of just attacking them and being on the offense and not looking for a call, not, you know, shying away from contact, or seeking the contact and just being aggressive. So that's really what that play came down to.
Absolutely. And then, you know, ended up getting the tech after. Was that a specific something that was boiling with that player throughout the game, or just kind of a frustrating night, you know, a chippy atmosphere, that sort of thing?
I think it was just a chippy atmosphere. You know, it was just, you know, the type of night it was. Nothing against the player. It was just, you know, with the competitor, I was competing. You know, I just tried to pick it up in the second half. Had a rough, rough game overall, especially the first half. So I was really just trying to still compete, still play hard, and just have that type of energy, you know, that we weren't going away.
you know, going for, you know, the dunk, the intense play versus the layups early. You had mentioned just, you know, a tougher start to the game shooting wise for you. Is that what you think is a, you know, a smart way or the right way to kind of break out of what you may call a slump earlier in the game? Is just, you know, see one go down with authority and then everything opens up?
Yeah, for one, I think what helped me is how I came out defensively, you know, picking up the ball, running full court. Because, you know, if I'm not contributing offensively, I still feel like I can make an impact on the game. So, you know, I think me bringing that energy defensively, and then it just kind of trickled down. You know, basketball is like about a game of energy, and, you know, the more energy you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it. So I think, you know, just me playing hard on the other side of the ball really helped me get back into my groove on offense.
You knocked down the three late that really kind of tightened things up. Yeah. You know, what's the emotion in that shot? And I've talked to you, you're confident as a scorer, everything else, you know. Sure. Is that zero hesitation when you get the ball in that situation from beyond the arc?
Yeah, definitely. It's tough, you know, having tough misses throughout the course of the game, but it's basketball. You got to have like a short-term memory when it comes to basketball. You know, you make good plays and make bad plays. So I think that just kind of, you know, went into that shot is just, you know, continuously being ready for my team. It was the right shot to shoot for my team, most importantly. So, you know, it going down was just like the byproduct of me just being ready and just staying confident.
I want to ask a more general rookie season question. Do you feel like there's a biggest lesson learned so far, or you know, I guess maybe biggest adjustment coming into the NBA this year for you?
Yeah, I feel like the more and more I play down here is just like, I learn more about myself and my teammates, you know, continuously, you know, learning stuff, you know, seeing what I'm going to, you know, key in on this summer going into the next season. You know, this is all about getting better for me. So this is development, you know, coming down here, getting reps, you know, playing with my team, playing hard and playing hard for my coach and watching a lot of film and seeing what I need to improve. So I think every time I come down here, I'm getting better. And that's just a big emphasis is development.
I asked Malachi about this last time I was here. You know, how do you feel like the skill level of the G League is at right now? I know this is obviously your first year playing there, but it really seems like high-level competitors, you know, guys who are just in the NBA or are in the NBA pretty much every night. Has that been your experience too?
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, in the G League, is just, you know, it just shows how talented the real NBA is. You know, it's just, you come, you know, over here, I don't want to say down here, it's over here because it's still talented. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm playing against guys that I grew up, you know, playing against in AAU, you know, All-Americans, you know, growing up, NBA players, NBA vets, you know, people that was just on NBA rosters. So I think it's a multitude of talent on each, you know, G League team, and it's just, you know, multiple opportunities to get better, showcase your talent, and continue to keep going. So I think it's really good, and G League's in a great spot as far as talent.
I wanted to ask a couple of Bucks questions. So Pat Bev is going viral for the podcast, sharing all sorts of great Bucks stories. I wanted to ask about, you know, he's talked about kind of bringing more intensity to practice. That seems like something that would resonate with you. You know, are you getting in these games at once he's talking about? And just how do you feel about the general energy level of the Bucks right now and the Hood?
Yeah, I love it. You know, that's what my mentality was, you know, coming into my rookie year, coming into with the Bucks is, you know, I'm knowing, like, I'm trying to establish myself defensively and energy-wise, you know. I feel like I hang my hat on my motor. So I feel like, you know, going into training camp and, you know, through all the practices, that's what I wanted to showcase. And we have guys that's like-minded, like Pat Bev and, you know, another rookie, Andre Jackson. You know, I feel like we complement each other in that way. We just play hard as hell. And I just like, you know, having somebody like Pat that I can learn from, and he's always giving me game on the bench and things like that, and just having somebody around that matches that energy, I think is great for the atmosphere of the team and also just great for the atmosphere, like, in the court. You know, because guys are going to be competing, and it's going to be contagious, you know, that type of energy. So I think it's really, really good.
Absolutely. And then I wanted to ask, you know, you kind of mentioned learning from Pat. You know, has there been a particular player? There's obviously so many great skilled vets on this Bucks roster.
Yeah, a lot.
Has there been one or all of them?
Yeah.
That for you in particular that you've been able to learn and take from? Is it really all of them? Is it different things from all of them? Or is there one that stands out?
I'm trying to take away a little bit of everything from everybody, you know.
Yeah.
And what's great is about the team is, like, you know, the vets are so open to, like, talk to us young guys, you know. Yeah. They really hold nothing, you know, against us when we come up to them and post them. And also, you know, go out there like, to approach us and, like, give us some game too, you know, when we don't initiate the conversation. So I think that's great. And I've been learning a lot from someone like Jay Crowder, who's a wing. Been in the NBA for years, you know what I'm saying? Like, ever since I was a kid, you know, he's been in the league, a lot of them actually. So,
Do they appreciate it when you point that out, or maybe not?
I mean, probably. I don't, you know, age-wise, probably not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I think it's a credit to them and their hard work and their work ethic and how great players they are. Just being able to, you know, stay in the NBA, because it's very hard. So, you know, I'd be a fool to not, you know, pick up a lot of, you know, game from these great vets that I got on my team. So I'm just going to continue to keep learning, continue to just, you know, let the things that they have to teach me just rub off on.
Absolutely. You know, what's the key to turning it around here next time out for the Herd? And, you know, if the team is able to make the playoffs, you know, it's really close right now. Yeah. Would you be interested, you know, obviously, if everything lines up with the Bucks and playing in a playoff game here?
Yeah, I want to play, most importantly. So, you know, Bucks, you know, Herd, you know, getting games is something that I'm trying to, you know, be a part of, you know. So just trying to get wins, stack them together. I think most importantly, we play with energy. We play hard on the defensive side of the ball. We're so talented offensively. All that's going to come. So I just feel like tomorrow we're just going to, you know, hang our hat on the defensive side of the ball, you know, energy. We're going to try to turn around that way, and I think everything else will take care of itself.
Awesome. Thanks, Chris. Yeah.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, J.J. Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, J.J. breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening, everyone. One last reminder that if you use promo code Eurostep at prizepicks.com/Eurostep, you can get a 100% first deposit match up to $100. While I'm saying this, Rohan is probably cooking up more winning plays. This is during Bucks Bulls, so you have to check his Twitter feed at Arcadi Jr. to confirm, but probably so you can get it on the action too at PrizePicks, our partner, presenting sponsor of the Eurostep and Win in Six. So use promo code Eurostep at prizepicks.com/Eurostep. And if this is your first time listening, we'd love to have you join us more often. Go ahead and subscribe, whether you're on your podcast platform, whether you're on YouTube, or preferably go subscribe on both and check out gspn.info for all of our links, including our Discord and social links, all the good stuff there. So thank you again for listening or watching. Until next time, Pod Random.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.